Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So far, the words of God. He's just finished talking about not using our liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. And he talked about this really in two different ways. One, to satisfy the flesh by doing whatever we want, as if we have been freed to disobey the law, instead of being freed to, for the first time, really, truly, obey the law from the heart and love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. But this liberty had also been used as an opportunity for the flesh in another way. The flesh is hateful towards others, and in their in the way those who had been trying to add man-made requirements or man-made ways by which one might grow as a Christian or advance as a Christian, maybe would better fit the mindset of the Judaizers, as that had been proposed by some who were in error, and they were looking down upon those who held only to what Christ taught and depending only on Christ, they were starting to bite and devour one another. And so that's what actually leads into the verses that are before us this afternoon. But if you bite and devour one another, if using your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh results in what comes out of the flesh, hatefulness is one of the things that comes out of the flesh. You see that in verse 20 when it says the works of the flesh are evident. Verse 20, hatred, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, and so on. Lest you be, verse 15, consumed by one another. Now, who thinks that it would be fun, children, to go to a birthday party and the person who is hosting the birthday party says, we are going to play a game. Everyone start biting and chewing on one another, and the last person not to be consumed wins. That sounds like horror and murder and death. That's the image in verse 15 that leads into this. And so if you're hearing that that's what comes from living by the flesh, you're thinking, I don't want to live by the flesh. I don't want to be consumed and consume others in the family of God, in the household of God. I don't want to live by the flesh. So the big question then is how? How can we not fulfill the desires of the flesh? And the apostle wonderfully, praise God, answers that for us. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And we can all do that if we're Christians, if you believe in Jesus Christ. Remember how he tied those two things together in the beginning of chapter 4? He said first in chapter 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And then verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. In Romans 8, he puts it this way, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. In other words, there is no such thing as a Christian who believes in Jesus, has been adopted as God's child in Jesus, that doesn't have the Holy Spirit in his or her heart, teaching them to know God as Father, producing, spreading the love of God out in our hearts. We hear that in Romans 5, verse 5. And teaching us to call upon God as our Father. So every believer, already has what you need to obey verse 16. Walk by the Spirit. Walk by the desires of your new nature that the Holy Spirit is the one who has been producing that in you according to the image of Christ, the first Adam, or the last Adam, instead of that original nature that you got, which we refer to, or the apostle here is referring to as the flesh, that remaining sin from your former nature, the one you got from the first Adam, when we sinned in him and fell with him. You remember that, catechism kids? So you have a new nature in Christ that is led by the Spirit, and you have remaining sin. And every moment of every day, you are making a choice whether you are going to indulge the remaining sin from your former nature or whether you are going to agree with the Holy Spirit. So you come out of verse 15 saying, how will I not fulfill the desires of the flesh? And he says, walk in the Spirit. Well, if only the Holy Spirit had given us all of the words that we need to know what he wants us to think and wants us to do in one book. Has the Holy Spirit given us words? Who is paying attention at breakfast? Where do we find the words of the Holy Spirit, John?
In the Bible.
In the Bible. And so we have God himself, the third person of the Trinity, dwelling in our hearts, and he has given us his words so that we might distinguish, because our hearts are pretty deceitful, right? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And sometimes we might have impulses of the flesh that we want to say are from the Holy Spirit, because we're real good at rationalizing, justifying, doing what we want, and God forgive us for this blasphemy, convincing ourselves that it was the Holy Spirit's idea. And so thank God that we have his word to inform us as we obey this. But it is true we have the Spirit, and it's important because there's a war, there's a battle. Verse 17 says the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. We know that. Right? Isn't that one of the most frustrating things for the apostle in Romans chapter 7 about having a new nature? Because he keeps on doing the things that he hates. He, by this new nature that God has given him, there's good things that he wants to do and he keeps not doing them. And there's evil things that he hates and he keeps doing them. So we know that the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. But verse 17 says, don't look at how big your enemy is and how he constantly seems to be winning skirmishes. Look at how great your ally is. Because the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God's Son, whom he has sent forth into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. He hates that sinful nature. He is going to get rid of it. We heard in the morning sermon today about how it's part of his great work to equip us and prepare us for that worship that is in glory. When the Holy Spirit is done with you, there will be nothing left. Nothing left of that former nature from Adam. The flesh wars against the Spirit, it's true. But the Spirit wars against the flesh. Now, I know this is kind of a silly and small and slight illustration by comparison to this great battle that we're talking about. But I don't know if this is because of social media memes or what. At some point, Chuck Norris took a place in the kind of background family lore of the Hakim household. And I know that I have children who love the Lord and are very frustrated with how often their enemy, the flesh, that remaining sin, seems to win. But could you imagine you're being sent into battle two by two and they're pairing off the different guys and you get paired off with Chuck Norris? Now, you know you're going to win, and almost certainly you're going to win because after Chuck Norris has single-handedly done just about all of the the work that you were supposed to do. He's going to carry your three-quarter dead body out on his shoulders as he runs from the enemy stronghold that blows up as he gets just far enough to be outside the blast radius. Now, like I said, it is a light by comparison illustration, but it is an apt illustration for having God himself, the third person of the Trinity, as your ally in this battle. Absolutely impossible that you could lose. He has gutted your original nature of its power over you. The way Romans 6 puts it is, sin shall no longer be master over you. And then he turns around in Romans 6 and he says, so don't offer your members as slaves for unrighteousness. Because the sad reality is there are many who have this ally and are doing everything they can, it seems, to fight against him. But if you have been given such an ally as God the Holy Spirit in your fight against sin, should you not there be all the more encouraged to wage the battle with him against your flesh? And not only has he taken away the power of sin, he's taken away the fear of the law. Because after all, this thing that the Judaizers were trying to add came from the Bible. And we all have those moments. What if I'm wrong? It is from the Bible after all. What if I'm bringing down condemnation on myself? He backs us up and he says, don't you remember what we said about why he sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts? It's because you have been redeemed and you have been adopted. The law can't condemn you. You might be getting it wrong. You're not. But if you think you might be getting it wrong, don't worry. You're not under the law in that way anymore. It can't condemn you to death. You already died. And when it looks at your account before God, it sees the righteousness of Jesus, and all the law can do for you is reward you for being perfectly obedient, because Christ is yours. So don't fear the law. The law has been turned into your ally too, demanding that you be blessed. And that's what it means to be under grace. Doesn't mean you don't want to do the law. It means you want to do the law from the heart for the first time. And all that that law can do to you is demand your blessing for Jesus Christ's sake. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Praise God.